When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Hulu, presenting Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers. From the backboard to the front office, Legacy captures the remarkable rise and unprecedented success of one of the most iconic franchises in professional sports. Featuring new revealing interviews from players, coaches, and execs, this 10-part documentary series chronicles this extraordinary story from the inside. Watch Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers now, only on Hulu.
What up, what up, what up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
Yeah. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart, we got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, them trap doors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up, do? Welcome to another episode of the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amon Hawkins. Appreciate you rocking with me on this Monday, May 18th. Yes, it's my daughter's birthday. She is 14 years old now. That means I'm 14 years older since the day she was born. So happy, blessed day to my big girl. We will be recapping The Last Dance, the last two episodes, episodes 9 and 10. And we're also going to talk about a little bit of NFL news. I like to get a little Easter egg just to make sure people are paying attention and tuning in to the podcast. Because if they, you know, hit me up, you're like, yo, man, I ain't hear you talk about this topic. I'd be like, oh, you ain't listen to the full podcast that I just dropped because I talked about that topic. So before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Abra Insurance. Go to abrainsurance.com for all your insurance need. That's home, business, auto, life, insurance, all that you need. The good people at Abra Insurance. Head up the Rio Road and go holler at Billy and Charlene White. So also go to sthujuice.com. Get your Shut the Hell Up Juice of Pearl. I got the Fear Collection, the Summer Collection coming soon. And basically, it's all dry fit. I got dry fit sleeveless hoodies. I got dry fit workout shirts. It's all about getting in order this summer. Your cardiovascular health is very important. Fear, face everything and rise. That's the moniker. So make sure you be on the lookout for the Fear Summer Collection on deck. Dry fit everything. Everything is everything because I need you good and comfortable when you're out there trying to run these 100 miles with my canes in them. Shout out to the 100 Miles of Running crew. So let's jump right into it. Right now, The Last Dance, episodes 9 and 10. My man Marvelous said, Rodman might be the official GOAT. He was big chilling and took breaks during the season, playoffs, and finals. Came back, balled every time. He was hanging with NWO and Hulk Hogan, son. Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji. By far, Dennis Rodman is the character of all characters, and Dennis Rodman showed that as long as you know your role, hey man, do what you do. Dennis Rodman is the prime example of if you're doing your job at a high level, exceptions will be made. If you's a bum, don't try that. Point blank period. Don't try it. Miss practice, hanging out with Hulk Hogan, hitting people with chairs. You know what I'm saying? Smoking cigars, hanging with Carmen Electra. And what'd he do? Come back the next game and gets his boards. And then he hits a jumper. And then he hits free throws. We talk about Dennis Hot Rod, Rodzilla, Rodman. And y'all notice one thing. Michael Jordan never had to get up in Dennis Rodman, S-H-I-T. Because Dennis Rodman did his damn job. Let me know what. Let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room, shall we? Let's address the elephant in the room from the Jordan Tales. Not the Jordan tales. These are the tales, the freaky tales. These are the tales that I sell so well. Let's talk about Michael Jordan and the perception that got people like, what's your boy name? Not Tyson Chandler, one of them damn Chandlers. The dude that played with LeBron that could shoot, that got the little podcast with Richard Jefferson, that Chandler. Chandler, is his last name Parsons? What's his last name? Oh, soft mental midget ass. Talking about, I couldn't play with Michael Jordan. He was a bully. You can't win like that today. Because he's so mean. He's just mean. All he wants to do is take Horace Grant's food from him. What does that have to do with anything? Why is he picking on Steve Kerr? He didn't have to punch him in the eye. Why is he talking like that? He's so mean. I want you to be nice to me. Stroke my ego. Just stroke me, stroke me, stroke me. And I'm not saying pause. We swear up and down, Channing Frye. Thank you, Marvelous. We swear up and down, right? And this would kill me a lot of times with social media. Folks telling themselves. Anybody that back what Chandler Frye said about Michael Jordan and his way, he was a bully and it wouldn't win today and it wouldn't rock today. You the same folks that should be out here not calling kids soft for their way of thinking. Because that's soft. If you can't get with the program or somebody chapping your hind parts because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, then what are we talking about? You one of these people out here that want a bunch of Me Toos around you. Oh, yeah, you are great. That's why we got Adrian Broners in our lifetime. That's why he ain't reaching his true potential. Because he got all these Me Toos talking about AB. Yeah, you is all about billions. Man, you a damn bum. A rich bum. But you's a bum when you look at what you can do, Adrian Broner. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you can fight. Yes, you got waves. Yes, your beard look good. But damn it, with your potential, you let us down. We can't take away that you rich. We can't take away that your mouthpiece helped you sell tickets. And you got some early knockouts versus some inferior opponents. But once you stepped up to the plate, you got that I need a Caesar salad ass look when McDonald put your ass through the ropes. And don't get me wrong, Adrian Broner, you tough too. You're a tough dude. Like, you fight. You don't throw no punches, but you fight, if that makes sense. Like, you But it's dudes like that that piss me off. It's dudes like Channing Frye that piss. Channing Frye, you show why you were a role player. Again, you're a pro. Millions of dollars. But by the standard of greatness, you're mediocre because of your way of thinking. The one thing I learned from this guy, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, is that he never goddamn settled for nothing. Everything was motivation to him. Every single thing was motivation. And if it's going to be motivation to himself, he going to motivate you because it's a team. It's a team damn sport. Why would I ask you to do something I'm not willing to do? Damn it, if I could go out here and play 30 damn six holes of golf in 100 goddamn on degree heat with Danny Ainge, and I tell Danny Ainge I'm going to bust his ass tomorrow. Guess what he did? Went out there versus the Phoenix Suns and bust that ass. You telling me you getting mad because he taking your goddamn Hot Pockets and your Doritos? We really feeling bad for Horace Grant because he got a meal taken away from him? Last time I checked, he don't look like he missed a lot of meals. You a professional player, bro. It's the message. Do your damn job. Stop being a bitch. That's what Michael said. Stop bitching to the refs versus the Pistons because they know they got us. What'd they say? When we knocked Scotty ass down and Scotty just got right back up and went to the free throw line, we was like, uh-oh, we done messed up. That's all Mike was telling you. Stop bitching. Stop being a bitch. Point blank, period. If you with Channing Frye, you's a bitch. That's what they saying. I'm just telling you what they saying. If the leader of the team, if the best player of the team comes up to you and holds you accountable, I don't give a damn what you feel like doing. We know one thing you ain't going to do. You ain't going to let them hands fly. All these tough-ass internet warriors out here in this world know good and damn well if the best player on the team take one of their meals or you know, you remember what Cameron did to Mekhi Phifer and paid in full? No Chinese food for you, no soy sauce, nothing. Did he want to fight him? No, because he knew He was a killer. I'm not fighting him. I want to. Yo, Ace, let me hold 10,000. That's what you would have been doing. Ain't none of y'all in y'all rightful ass, rabbit ass mind gonna try to put your paws on the breadwinner of the team. Y'all be killing me with this. Man, if I was Horace, I would, man, shut up. You wouldn't have did nothing. You wouldn't have did a damn thing. Y'all be killing me with this mess. You wouldn't do nothing. Look, the best player on your damn team come up to you. He don't fight you. He just takes something of yours and say, yo, you don't deserve this because you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. You ain't going to bust no great. You know better. Come on, son. Y'all kill me with this. I would have been fighting. For what? For what? That's all I got to do to get you to fight? Well, shoot, I'm going to do that in the game then. What you like? Wristbands? Take his wristbands off his arm. I bet you play better now. Take this goggles off. Take his Gatorade. He don't need, in the huddle, I would have took your Gatorade. Oh, you ready to fight? Oh, so you want to fight me, but you don't want to fight them on the court where you get paid to do, but you'll fight me. Y'all one of them type people. You one of them type folks that'll cuss out your damn family member in the house when they disrespect you, but you get out on the street and you, oh, yeah, massa, anything you say, I won't do nothing to you because I'm a Christian. But behind closed doors, you, I miss a mother sucker would mess with me, and anybody in this family want to try me, I'm going to do this. That's what type of people y'all is, and that's what Channing Frye showed me he was. He's just a mental midget. A mental midget. Now, in this perception that Michael Jordan's a bully, Michael wouldn't run up on this dude. You got Charles Barkley. He wouldn't run up on this guy. He wouldn't run up on that guy. Why would he run up on those guys? They ain't never do nothing to make him run up. Like, if you're doing your job, he not going to run up. All these, look, man, y'all be killing me on this social media, man. Y'all be fighting about the wrong things, but won't fight for the right thing at all. You won't fight for your own greatness, but you'll fight for mediocrity. That's what you're telling me. You'll fight to be mediocre. Oh, no, I don't want to fight. I want to fight to stay right here. I don't want to be better, so I'm going to fight you because you want me to be better. So I'm going to stay in this lane. I'm going to stay right here. Think about that. That's what you're fighting them for. So Michael Jordan a bully because he had a disagreement with Steve Kerr. And guess what happened? Anytime Mike asked, they got in a bind, if old Stevie Kerr was open, guess what Mike said? Get ready, Steve, because he knew Steve ass was mentally ready. Once Mike tests you, he came at you, came to you, respected you. He got in a fight with Reggie Miller. We saw that, right? Punched Reggie Miller dead in the jaw on a sneak tip. When Mike came out from that press conference after one of the games, hey, brother, how you doing, man? How the family? Respect. So, yeah, you might have some fisticuffs. You might have some dust-ups. But you're going to earn somebody respect. All at the end of the day, it ain't about fighting. It's about standing up for yourself. So it's a difference. Yeah, anybody could just throw a wild punch, close your eyes and do a damn Danny Garcia. Or you could stand up and be like, hey, man, I ain't no punk. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm going to do. So that's what it is. It's and so in episode 9, now we could focus on the episodes. I had to just get my soliloquy out the way, you know, my monologue, because people are talking about Mike Jordan, a bully, like he's some punk poo butt that only ran up on small people that they ain't about nothing. You know what I'm saying? That damn dialogue and diatribe need to die. Just die. So episode 9 started off with Reggie Miller talking about his battles with Michael Jordan. Legendary battles. Reggie Miller is a stone cold killer. Don't forget, man. I know we love Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but goddamn, Reggie Miller is about a damn bucket. Cold blooded. One thing I can say about Reggie Miller versus Steph Curry, in the clutch, I want Reggie. In the clutch, I want Klay over Steph Curry. Play with it. I ain't lying. On the biggest stage, give me Klay before Steph, and damn sure give me Reggie before any two of them fools. Huh. Check his track record. I want Reggie. Reggie said, come here, goat. I'm going to push your ass off the cliff and get this ball and kill you. And if I like what Reggie said. I'm going to make the refs make it. Hey, we're going to make the refs make this call. I'm going to make the refs make this call. Push the hell out of Mike. And drain that hole. Drained it. And then the Pacer teams, they had a squad, boy. Why people, oh, Michael and them never played anybody. Most 60 team wins eliminated in the playoffs. Michael and Scotty together. But they ain't play nobody. Come on, man. We just got to sit. Sometimes you got to sit back, sit, sip your own damn set the hella juices. Just appreciate what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to tear down somebody's damn home and their legacy, just appreciate what they did. Them Indiana Pacers teams, man, with the Davis brothers and Rick Schmitz, Chris Mullin, they had Jalen, they had Travis Best. They had a nice squad with a lot of depth. They had Larry Legend as the coach and took them to 7 games. And I love that Michael Jordan was close to the security guard that ended up becoming a father figure to him, man. It showed me, man, that Mike was a cool dude, man. Mike was funny in his own right. Mike can't act the same way that us peons act because his life ain't filled with peons like ours is. So he got to move differently. But Mike had a method to his madness, and Mike knew how to push all his teammates' buttons. He knew how to get the best out of all of them. That's leadership. Leadership is evaluating what's going on. First of all, let's talk about Phil. Phil Jackson is the greatest coach ever. The way he managed personalities, the way he get the best out of everybody, he meets you where you're at, have you living in the present, how he just mind molest you. Oh, that's a bad word. No, throw that out there. How he just challenged you mentally. Like, Phil Jackson's a special coach, man. Because he was a different dude like Dennis. Now, you know how many coaches would have been just talking bad about Dennis to the press? Phil was like, hey, Phil, we heard Dennis wasn't here. Is that true? Yep, that's true. He wasn't here. I mean, just simple as that. He won't hear. And then you even have Mike saying, yeah, Rodzilla. Where Rodzilla at? Because Michael Jordan knew, yo, let Dennis blow off his steam because I know he's going to give me his all. Dennis is going to come back. He's going to give him the Stairmaster. He's going to go get them damn rebounds. As long as you're doing your job, bro, I'm telling you, yes, people might be pissed. You might be doing certain things. But at the end of the day, as long as you're doing your job, you'd be surprised how people turn a blind eye to things. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's just the truth. It's just the truth. Then we learned about the flu game. End up, Mike had food poison. And a lot of people don't believe that Michael Jordan had food poison. A lot of people believe that he was drunk. And I'm like, he in Salt Lake City, Utah in the mid-90s. The hell he getting drunk off? Holy water? What is he drinking? Beers? Coors Lights? He might have did have food poison. You know, he probably ordered, you know what I'm saying? He ordered a couple of anchovies. Knowing Mike, he probably eat anchovies on this piece. Like, he a damn Ninja Turtle. And that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? Mike was some trash can juice beginning of that game. And then, he had an out-of-body experience, man. He stepped out and started balling. That dude's amazing, bro. That whole documentary just amazing, man. Just how it came full circle, how it started going against Magic and James Worthy and those guys in that first final and understanding the greatness of Magic Johnson. And then how they beat that Portland team who had 2 and 3 All-Stars on that squad, beating the likes of Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Hersey Hawkins and those guys that people don't respect. Beating Charles Barkley-led Phoenix Suns. And then beating Utah back-to-back years. In which, believe it or not, I didn't even realize Utah started the series 1-0 in 98. Utah actually had the better record, so they had home court advantage. So, in a sense, were they really the favorites going into that finals if Utah had home field advantage? Because that's always a debate as well, that Mike was always the favorite in all of his finals. Was Mike and them really the favorites over the Lakers that year? In 90-91? Like, were they really the favorites? Should we go back and just, like, because I'm going to attack that narrative. Were the Lakers versus the Bulls, were they really the damn favorite? Let me think. Nah, it probably was. Yeah, they was. They was. Bulls number one seed where they was at. Lakers number one seed. Number three seed. So, yeah. Yeah, I guess you got a point there. I guess they were the favorite. Maybe just, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just looking at it. Let me look at that 90-91 season. Let me look at the overall season. Damn, Mike and them only lost two games that whole playoffs, though. Swept the Knicks, beat the 76ers 4-1, swept the Pistons, and then they only lost that one game to the Lakers. Let me see the overall best record in the league that year. Was it the Bulls? No, Portland. So Portland was 63-19 that year on the West, and the Lakers beat them 4-2. So the Lakers actually beat a 63-19 Portland Trailblazers team to get to the finals. So you had Portland 63-19, then the Bulls 61-21. And that was actually the year where Portland had three All-Stars. Duckworth was also an All-Star with Porter and Clyde Drexler. Had Boston was 56-26, San Antonio was 55-27, Utah was 54-28. What are the 76ers? 44-38. So, Mike was basically the favorite. We know ring 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm trying to see if 6, if they were really the favorites. You know, are we just favoring them? Like, when you say somebody the favorite, are you saying because of the record or because of the roster? Because when people say that about, you know, how LeBron is always the underdog, I'm like, well, LeBron, only time LeBron's really been the underdog in the finals is his Cleveland. Anytime he went to the finals in Cleveland. But the Heat, he was always a favorite. The Heat, LeBron James teams were always a favorite in the finals. Can y'all agree with that? Can we agree with that right there? Huh? Can we agree with that? I would say that they were the favorite. So the Jazz and the Bulls in 97-98, both were 62-20. Okay. And then Utah had beat them in the season. So, damn. Okay. And then you had Seattle and the Lakers was 61-21. Sheesh. So yeah, man. It showed Steve Kerr's story about how he wasn't really recruited. Arizona basically just gave him a scholarship at the last minute. He took that scholarship without even visiting. His dad, whose name was Malcolm, and really when you see a Caucasian man named Malcolm, he died over in Beirut. Unfortunate death. He was killed by some terrorists, or I don't even know if you can call it terrorists, just killed by some imposters. So you got to see Steve Kerr, man. Steve Kerr is a dog, yo. I respect Steve Kerr a lot, man. Respect him a lot because he identified the path that John Paxson took. And even when he was playing with Cleveland, they used to play against the Bulls, Steve Kerr paid attention. And he understood his role. And versus Utah, they knew Mike was going to get double. And Mike, like, yo, make sure you're ready, Steve. And Steve got hyped, like, I'm going to be ready. Pass me the ball. I'm going to be ready. Man, he drained that hole, too. That ain't, hey, yo, man, that's tough. Because even in the Indiana Pacers series, when they had the jump ball between Michael Jordan and Rick Smith, Scottie Pippen got the jump ball possession, and they threw it to Steve Kerr, who was wide open, and he hit the three to bring them back into that. Like, Steve Kerr hit a lot of big shots. Hit a lot of big shots, just like Johnny Paxson. So, salute to Steve Kerr, yo. I mean, Steve Kerr been winning rings for a minute. And you know, Steve Kerr been around Phil Jackson. Then he was around Popovich. I know he inherited Mark Jackson players. And it's no different than Phil inheriting Michael and Scottie or inheriting Kobe and Shaq. But you still got to manage personalities and still got to bring the best out of them and take them to that next level, right? And that's one thing you can say about Steve Kerr, bro. He know how to manage personalities because Draymond Green is a personality. From the looks of things, Steph Curry got a little personality in him, too. And Klay too quiet, so I think he crazy, too. He got a personality. And if you just know how to manage personalities, get the best out of your players, and essentially be a player's coach but have that respect, that's why he's successful, bro. Sometimes, man, it ain't all about being the best in X's and O's. Sometimes it's about being the best in reaching your players. Like, sometimes you reach your players so well that they sell out for you. You know what I'm saying? Case in point, Mike Tomlin for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Your boy James Harrison dropped a little, thought he was snitching. They didn't understand what James Harrison was trying to say, right? If James Harrison was explaining how real of a dude that Mike Tomlin was, and that he got fined for an unfortunate hit he had versus somebody. It was a hefty fine, like $75,000. And once the fine was laid out, Mike Tomlin handed James Harrison an envelope. Basically like, here, I know you just got fined. You know, I don't know if he put something on it. I don't know if he covered it. But at the end of the day, he showed James Harrison like, yo, that was bogus. I'm here for you. Basically on some G stuff. And folks didn't understand what James Harrison was trying to come to. Basically, he was just trying to explain the relationship piece that most head coaches have that are very successful. That a lot of fans and pundits don't understand. Right? They just think it's all about X's and O's and being a dictator and just winning. But sometimes all about the well-being of the player that the coaches reach. Right? Knowing how to talk to them. Knowing when to, you know, chew them out, knowing when to embrace them and bring them in and seeing what's really wrong with them. Because sometimes when players act out, they're going through something, and those coaches know. And that's why they don't elaborate on it to the media. You know, a lot of times, do you know what's going on? They're like, yeah, we talked about it behind closed doors, but we're going to keep that in-house. And folks hate that because we nosy. Everybody's nosy. So it leaves us up to guessing what's going on. And I think Steve saw that from Phil Jackson. And then he saw a different side from Popovich, in which Popovich manages personalities and has his own ways, very stoic. Look, man, Popovich coached Steven Jackson. You got to be a different individual to coach Steven Jackson. Stacks ain't rap too tight. But this documentary in itself showed me that, first of all, egos are real. It takes an ego to be successful. And egos can be a detriment to you if you don't put that ego in the box. Like, Michael Jordan has a supreme ego. Supreme. Supreme ego. Anybody and everybody can see. If somebody said that this dude was just as good as Mike, that fight, like, you can see it in his eyes. Like, I'll kill him. Gary Payton said he made it tough for you. Whatever, dog. I'm just going through something. I'll kill you. Like, any and everybody saw, anytime it came to a comparative conversation, Mike won't having it at all. Like that burns him. How dare you compare anybody to me? Me. This is me. Now, with Kobe, he understood that Kobe was basically like honoring him, because he wanted to pull from him. So Mike didn't see Kobe as a threat. He embraced Kobe. You know what I'm saying? He looked at Kobe like one of his seeds. Like, I birthed you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you keeping my legacy alive, because every time they see you play and see the moves that you do, they think of 2-3. But that other boy that wear 2-3, they really think he better than me. Roll the documentary. Hey, man, let me tell you something. Hey, man, y'all think that boy better than me? Roll the documentary. Roll it. Y'all must have forgot. That's what Mike, I'm trying to tell you, man. This is Michael Jordan. I don't put nothing past him. I don't put nothing past Mike. Hey, isn't it ironic that the dude they say is better than Mike got how many L's in the finals? Okay, how many, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Byron Russell. Thank you, Daryl. Byron Russell came up to Michael Jordan when he was retired, the I Quit tour. When they came, he came to holler at Malone and Stockton, and Byron Russell, being a young jokester rookie, came and joked with the wrong damn dude. Talking about, hey, Mike, why'd you quit? I was ready to lock you up. You lucky. Okay. So when we played, Mike lit the camera. So when we played him, Byron Russell, yeah, I got something for him. And for the people that think Michael Jordan pushed off of Byron Russell, come on, man. That dude was already all shook up like Elvis before Mike hit that step back. Mike had that man leaning like goddamn smooth criminal Michael Jackson on his toes. And are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? You've been struck by a smooth criminal. Man, did you see the fans, though, when they took the picture, though? Oh, it was so many damn tears. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Bill was good. Man, he had Byron. Byron, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Byron? Leaning like the smooth criminal before he stepped back and swapped that hoe. Swap it. Hey, Mike swapped that jank. Swap it. What'd you say, young punk? Work on your art. You won't need lights for the dog. Hey, Mike, you lucky you quit, no fool. You lucky. I'm quitting again. Swap your ass, Byron. Be all. That boy got to steal and walk the ball off the court. My man, Scottie Pippen with his bad back said, what did they say, Scottie, what was your thoughts when Mike was bringing the ball up? Move the hell out the damn way. With my bad back, I was getting the hell out the way. Hey, Dennis, what was your thoughts when Mike was coming on the court? Won't no goddamn way he was passing that damn ball. He was shooting that hoe. Dennis was walking. Look, Dennis wasn't even up the court, yo. Dennis was getting across half court when Mike did the step back. Dennis Rodman, you was a funny man. Dennis Rodman is a lucky man, too. If you go through his day, going, hey, Dennis Rodman might be our modern-day Wilt Chamberlain, bro. He might be our modern-day Wilt. I'm telling you. Dennis Rodman is a lucky man back in the day because he must have mad charisma because my boy looked like the damn little green frog and the princess and the frog. Somebody kissed that man. Good God. Dennis, come on, bro. Oh, and while I'm thinking about it, man, did y'all see Mike Tyson punching and shadow boxing with the Mets, saying he was back? And then Evander Holyfield, you know, used his walker to get out there. And I, like I said, I'm back too. Let's do it again, Mike. Man, if y'all, hey, man, we ain't going to allow no Robin or the culture, dog. Hell no. Y'all out here talking about, oh, I would love to see Evander and Mike Tyson. Y'all need to stop it, man. We already had the movie with damn Sylvester Stallone and damn Robert De Niro, man. We ain't trying to have that mess. I ain't trying to see them two old-ass dudes fight. Come on, man. Y'all need to stop. See, y'all be pissing me off condoning this BS. I ain't trying. Nah, man. We not going to do that. We not going to do that. We not going to do it. Mike Tyson, stay in shape, brother, but sit your ass down if you really trying to fight. You ain't trying to fight. Nah, we not doing that. Y'all out here really condoning this mess, man. We not doing that, bruh. We not doing that. Mike Tyson. Oh, Mike Tyson still got it. Yeah, all right. So somebody punch his ass back. Yeah. I seen the last time Michael ass was in the ring. Mm-hmm. Y'all be thinking dudes nice because they be hitting these damn mitts. What, remember your boy Bolo told you, Brick don't hit back. Man, Mike, you better sit your ass down and smoke your weed. And you got a nice podcast, sir. I don't want no smoke. Trust me, I don't. I plead the fifth dimension. I don't want none of them fists. But to them other professionals, man, they licking their damn chops and knock your ass out for a big payday. Man, Mike, they'll beat the hell out of you. Stop, man. You 50 plus. Come on, bro. Stop. Y'all out here talking, oh, Mike got a chance. Mike can fight Deontay. Man, Deontay Wilder put his ass asleep. Yo, we got to stop doing this, man. For real, man, we got to stop, man. We love to sell stuff just so we can see what we want and then feel bad when somebody get their ass murdered in the ring. Man, Mike, sit down. Sit down. Sit your ass all the way down, Michael Tyson. I ain't even calling you Mike. Your ass is Michael. Michael Tyson, sit your ass down, sir. Keep hitting the mitts. Don't you step your ass in no damn ring with Nevada State Athletic Commission on OKU, because we know you're taking testosterone. They're going to Nevada State. Unless Vada ain't testing, you can't fight, because testosterone got you looking like that. That's how you transform your body. I watch a Joe Rogan podcast. Denzel, oh, I ain't. I'm trying to tell you, Michael Tyson, sit all the way down, sir. This ain't goddamn hangover. You ain't punching nobody to no damn Phil Collins in the heat of the night, whatever that joint is. Nah. And y'all know y'all sped up that footage too. Sped that damn footage up. Hey, they like, oh, Mike explosive. Man, they sped that hoe up. Mike out there punching, taking breaks in between the damn break and the takes. Some damn Mike take. Oh, and another thing, Layla Ali, use another one. Sister, queen, leave Clarissa Shields all the way alone. No, don't do that. I know Floyd made Canelo look real pedestrian, but you ain't Floyd and she ain't Canelo. You ain't boxed in about 12 years. Have several seats, queen. With all due respect, Curtis Conway, I know you always ready to fight. I don't want no smoke. You got it, man. Plus, you got the toucan sand nose. You can smell me 3,000 miles away. Leave Clarissa Shields alone. Because y'all keep hyping. Oh, okay, I want to see that. Man, y'all just want to see people get their ass beat. Then their legacy ruined. Might step his ass in the ring if he want to. Man, look. Mike and Evander, if y'all fight with headgear on, man. And let it be for charity. Do that. Would you rather see Tyson versus Fury or Tyson versus the real deal? I'd rather see Tyson versus Evander with some headgear on for charity. I do not want to see a real fight. Mike always had the tattoos, man. But the one thing about Mike was people was like, oh, if you punch him in the face, he don't come like that no more. Mike sober too. You know, when Mike was a bad man, he was on cocaine, bro. He was numb. He ain't on cocaine no more. He might be on the weed, but that hard is different. As Michael Irvin, that's why he retired from football. They started busting him. He couldn't do them eight balls no more. Y'all don't listen to me. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Out here, Sison Mike Tyson. Michael Tyson is back. Hey, man, he could beat Deontay Wilder. Shut the hell up, please. Couldn't be no damn Deontay Wilder right now. Shut your ass up. That's what's wrong with your dumb asses now. Man, I'm telling you, what you telling me? Oh, yeah, he got a punch his chance. Everybody could punch. But what you really telling me? That Michael Tyson at 50-something years old could beat Deontay Wilder? 6'7" in his prime? Man, they'll punch, break his damn cheekbone, man. Stop playing with me, man. Don't do that. We're not going to do that. We don't want to see Mike get Larry Holmes. You remember what Michael Tyson did to Larry Holmes? You remember what Larry Holmes did to Muhammad Ali? We don't want to see that. We don't want to see what Terry Norris did to Sugar Ray Leonard. We don't see what happened to Roy Jones once Glenn Johnson made his ass through the sixth inch in the ring. Matter of fact, Antonio Tarver started the fall, the demise of Roy Jones. Everybody started making Roy lean back. Once Antonio Tarver told him, you got any more excuses, Roy? And that don't take away from how nice and how great those fighters were. But we won't want to see that. Because Michael Jordan did it to us. All I could think about is that old-ass Michael Jordan I saw with the damn Wizards jersey. Man, that's why I'm glad the Last Dance. Because now I can remember Mike for that. All right, that damn Michael Jordan I saw for the Wizards, man. People say, man, Michael Jordan, man, at 40 years old, he was averaging 20-plus and shooting. Man, shut up. We talking about Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Not no damn poo-butt old dude. We talking about Michael Jordan. Forever, he going to be Michael, 23, the Bulls. Not that 45 crap. Not that wizardry, 23. Come on, man. We not doing that this evening, okay? Y'all would just be sicing folks just for the hell of it. Just Don King of people. Only in America. selling people on these Wolf tickets. Trash. Get them out of here. By Mike standards, trash. Tragic Johnson. Yeah, he dropped 55 in the Garden, but his ass ain't go. Look, before then, Mike had never missed the playoffs. Come back to them bum-ass Washington Wizards. Now you can say, well, the 2 years with the Wizards, he ain't made the playoffs. Gave people ammunition. Shh. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the GOAT. Man, but hopefully, man, y'all enjoyed that. If you have anybody that's around you, if you are somebody in business and somebody has the name Jerry, fire their ass. Anybody that they got name of Jerry that's in charge, get the hell away from them. Jerry Jones, Jerry Heller, the Jerrys for the Chicago Bulls. If they name Jerry, get the hell away from them, man. You know what I'm saying? If Jerry Rice owned Popeyes or something, get the hell away from him. If they first name start with Jerry and you got a dynasty, get the hell on. Leave them alone because they're going to break the dynasty up. Look, man, it really pisses me off that we really could have had an attempt for the seventh ring if they would have just shut the hell up before the season. But no, the egos came into play and, you know, they're too old and we got to get rid of them. Only person we want back is Michael. We're going to get rid of Phil. We're going to put a couple pieces around Michael. Like, Mike ass really going to stick around and go from the damn mountaintop to the damn middle of the damn buffet line. See, man, that's egos for you. That's how you know dudes done got their money and they chilling now. Like Jerry Krause chilling. Nobody could take away the six rings he helped engineer with the Bulls. Nobody could take it away from him. Nobody. And we just can't blame Jerry Krause. We got to bring the other Jerry. Jerry R. You got Jerry K. You got JK and JR. Junior jokes. Talk about I told Phil he could come back now. Fool, what I look like to you? That's like a girl telling you I don't want to date you. I felt I'm in love with this guy over here. And after about 2 weeks, that dude done told her no. Now, oh, you know what? I admit I made a mistake. I want you now. Hell no. They just turned you down. Gonna tell goddamn Phil, we want you to coach one more year. Mike said it right. Hulk, do you think the Bulls would have won 8 in a row if Jordan did retire the first time? Yes, I do. Aaron Calhoun comes in with an attention grabber post. He said, Jalen Hurts is better than Carson Wentz. Everybody look at Aaron Calhoun right now. Give him attention because that is an attention post right there. That's a Skip Bayless take. Ain't nowhere in the damn world Jalen Hurts is better than Carson Wentz. But we'll entertain it and just say, I think the Bulls were a well-oiled machine and they would have kept winning until somebody showed us they couldn't. So I'm going to say yes. It would have been tough to win 8 in the damn row. God, dog. I mean, they won 6 and 8 years. Yeah, 6 and 8 years. That's crazy. But even though Hakeem was the true matchup that could give the Bulls trouble for what they lacked down low on the block, I felt like if Mike stays, they keep Horace there. You add in Kukoc with that team as well. See, that's the other dynamic. If Horace Grant stays, you miss out on the addition of Rodman. I still say the Bulls would have just they just would have kept winning, man. Mike was that damn good. Those 2 years without Mike, Scotty really came into his own too. I think they would have. I mean, it's hard to say that they wouldn't have, and it's crazy to say they would have. That's 8 straight titles. God day, whoo, that's a lot. I clear that's a lot. That's a lot of winning. 6 and 8 years, then you got 8 straight. That's like the damn Celtics back in the day. All right, man. What else y'all got going on? But yeah, man, I like the series overall. Hopefully Netflix get it up real quick. Go read the Jordan Rules book. I think you'll like that by Sam Smith. A lot of the stories that they shared behind the scenes, Sam Smith talked about it. You see the way that Jordan approached a lot of things as well in detail. Is, you know, approaching, making fun of Bill Cartwright, and Bill Cartwright and Michael Jordan having it out, and they came to an understanding, to a mutual respect. You saw how Michael went at any and everybody that he felt like wasn't living up to the standards of the Jordan way. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to think, man, Mike was successful with Dean Smith. And when you got coaches like Dean Smith and around Dean Smith rave about the way that he worked, James Worthy rave about the way that he worked, some guys are just work and won't even say S-H-I-T to you. And if you lose, they just look at you. Like, to me, I want that leader that's going to say something to me. I don't want that leader that's not going to say nothing. Just going to let me die over here in the corner or let me be mediocre. That's just me. I want you to say something to me. I want you to say something to me, like hold me accountable. If I'm going to get an attitude, I get an attitude, but at least I know you care. I don't need you to be my goddamn friend. Like, F all that. Too many folks expect teammates to be, like, it's been plenty of teammates that I had that I ain't the best of friends with. But you get us on the field together, we'll bust your ass. Because of mutual respect and we know we're going to get out of each other. And I know in a foxhole, he's going to fight. But that buddy-buddy stuff gets you in trouble. There's a lot of buddy-buddies. Lord, y'all got a lot of buddies out here that y'all be talking real greasy about when they ain't around, but you won't say it to their face. I'm just keeping it 100 with y'all. But y'all want something to be nice. It's a way of talking to me. I just want to see if you got that fire in your hind pot. I want to see if me talking to you greasy is going to get you ready to goddamn spark one. And if I see you about to spark one, I'm like, cool. He will fight. So we're going to use that during game time. Soon as the game come around, I'm going to my bag of spark tricks. Hey, yo. My man over here said he busting that ass. That you his hoe. Oh, you don't like that word hoe? Well, he called you a hoe. Kill him. That's all it is. Mind games, brothers. Mind games, brothers. That's it. You got to appreciate it, man. I'm trying to get you to be the best that you can be. Period. And if I ask you to do something that I ain't willing to do, call me out on it. Because ain't that what we do today? It's been plenty of times that anybody play organized sports, you got a strength coach, right? If your strength coach out here telling you, there's a lot of time, I don't have plenty of strength coaches. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but I had a couple of strength coaches who were actually lift and run with us. And you knew that took away so many so much back talk and excuses from the players, because the strength coach is out there doing everything that you're doing. They may not be going the same speed as you, but they're getting through the same workout as you. You can't say nothing. You can't say, man, this is some BS, because they doing it. That's all it is. Bro, I'm doing it too. That's all I'm saying, man. I ain't trying to be the dead horse. But go look at The Last Dance. I think all the episodes, are they all available on the ESPN app? I ain't promoting the ESPN app. They ain't paying me, but go check out the ESPN app. But yeah. Anything else? Oh, and I do want to talk about this at the end of this video, end of this podcast. This is a proposal, whatever it is, for minority coaches to get ahead. If you know, hire a minority head coach, general manager, you get like a better draft position and things like that. If that ain't racism, and that is fine. Like, what? So you gonna give me a carrot for hiring somebody that's a minority? Is it really genuine? Now, I know you got to break the barriers any way you can, but God damn. Am I that incompetent that you get an added bonus for hiring my underqualified ass? Or are you going to get lucky and know I'm overqualified, hire me, and hustle and get draft pick. Like, what's the message that's going on? What are we doing? We Section 8 coaches now? Huh? You foster parents? You going to get a check because you're taking in this kid? Like, what the hell are we doing? Stephen A. Smith thinking it's a great thing. I'm looking at him like, what the what type of weed you smoking? Like, really? 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 I'm going to give you an extra draft. Hey, yo, I got Joe Black over here want to be a head coach. Oh, man, he's not a good candidate, but look at the draft this year. If we hire him, we can move up and we can get this kid. How long does incentive last? For 2 years? 3 years? Okay, so we could get this many draft picks and we could do that. And once we get him, we'll just fire his ass. What if he wins? We don't care. We didn't really want him. We just wanted the perks. But if we don't succeed and we keep his job, we continue to stack up on these draft picks and get all these good young players. And then once we milk them and get it all that we need, we can get rid of them. So what? We give them a couple million bucks. But hey, we hired them. We filled our quota. Sad. I don't like it. But hey, I'm just speaking my mind. I ain't saying my word is bond or gospel. It's just an opinion. I don't like the premise behind it. I just think that if you gotta attach an incentive for me to get hired, then you identify that it's some shaky things going on. It really is. You could be the worker bee, but you can't be the face or the leader. That's it, man. That's all I got for y'all. Y'all know the motto, good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do. Make sure you go to sthujuice.com. Get your Shut the Hell Up Juice apparel. But yeah, bro. Share the podcast. Share the content. Follow me on Twitter at IronBallHawk. Follow me on Instagram at IronBallHawk. Facebook, Amon Hawkins. BallHawk fan page. This is what we do, man. We talk that trash can juice. We have fun. At the end of the day, the opinion shared on this podcast is mine and mine alone. It had nothing to do with my sponsors, so don't ever try to attach what I say to my sponsors. It ain't like I'm out here, like, you know, hating groups and stuff like that. But this is sports, and a lot of times people take a comment like it's gospel. Yo, sports is opinions, okay? You may like some things that I hear and other folks hear and say it's fact, but at the end of the day, it's still an opinion. It's just an opinion. It's just a view. All right. So I don't want folks to always feel like just because they say something when they have a debate that it's fact. It's an opinion. It really is. So have fun with your opinions. Let the GOAT be the GOAT. The GOAT to me is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I have no issue if Magic Johnson is your GOAT. I have no issue if Bill Russell is your GOAT, if Dr. J is your GOAT, if Kareem is your GOAT, if LeBron James is your GOAT. I have no issue with anybody else being your GOAT. Wilt Chamberlain is the overall GOAT. I just want to let everybody know that should be no damn debate. Wilt Chamberlain is the bona fide GOAT on and off the court. I'm just leave it at that. Drop the mic. Until next time, man, it's the Ball Hawk Show. Oh, we are out of here. Peace.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.